It's the Wednesday pre-show, and I was at a yesterday. I was at the a benefit for LaSalle High School, Pasadena, and was very fortunate enough to be emceeing the whole thing at the San Gabriel Country Club. Very beautiful place. They've just renovated it. It looked very nice. Did I get any pictures? Yeah, somewhere, man. I don't know where the fuck they are. Somebody took pictures. Where's my phone? And here's my driver's license. I mean, I have got more shit. Here's my driver's license. Here's my new driver's license. Well, you can't see it. The picture ain't too good. I just do not take good pictures. And I don't take good driver's license pictures. And I don't take good... And I don't take good pictures of other people. Just the whole thing of taking a picture, whether it's my face or somebody else's, if I got anything to do with it, it blows. All right. Oh, onions. That's right. Somebody had a hot dog with onions around here. Okay. Time for the show. What do we got going on here today, man? We're going to do an As You Like to Hear Her, Hillary Clinton. I thought that would be good. I don't know. That doesn't lend itself to too much humor, I don't think. I mean, the problem with political humor, if you have an opinion, then it's only really going to be funny. You're only going to really make it funny if you are believing what you're saying, if you have a real emotional connection to what you're saying. So it's easy for me to do a satirization, for instance, of Donald Trump, because I'm opposed to his candidacy. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, I favor it, but I know she's got a lot of places that you can lampoon. So what you have to do is, in that instance, is go after her as somebody who supports her, but is saying to her, boy, you are fucking this up, right? You are fucking this up. So that's kind of going to be my approach here today. And, you know, it's impossible for you not to have, people are going to have opinions about things. Now, some people like, I remember when Jay Leno used to say he's an equal opportunity offender, which I think is the most disingenuous bullshit I ever heard in my life. There's no such fucking, you know, if you're a humorist, then you're a humorist. You're not, if you're an offender, the only way you really offend anybody is if you have some satirical bite behind it. I mean, when's the last time Jay Leno got into any, when he was doing The Tonight Show, when he got into any real trouble for, you know, anything that he did? I mean, every so often, and he'd get freaked out and you know, apologize for it. He never intended to offend anybody. Nobody who does humor should ever intend to offend anyone. You don't want to do that. That's not the point. The point is to be funny. Unfortunately, not everything is funny to everybody. If you do satire, which is, as we've said, and as Gary Trudeau said to me personally once, not that he had, you know, who I was, but he was just talking in general terms. We were discussing satire. He said it's humor with a point of view. Well, you're naturally, if you're doing satire, you're going to have a point of view, and that point of view may offend some people. But it also may be hilariously funny to others. So that's a dangerous thing, satire. So the best thing to do is to satirize things that are not often satirized, that don't necessarily create an immediate emotional, you know, response. Or if they do, the emotional response that is created is one of which the person who's being lampooned or satirized recognizes their foible. You know, not that doesn't happen often. I'm not even sure I know what I'm talking about now. I think it's all a bunch of, you know, highfalutin bullshit. Also, we're gonna have Jay Santos on fishing numbers. Let's see. Whenever you're ready to get it together, booby. What the fuck? Okay. So I was staying at the San Gabriel Country Club last night. We were staying last night at the Hilton in San Gabriel. And, you know, the San Gabriel Valley here in Los Angeles is becoming demographically very Asian Pacific. Mostly, you know, families that have moved here from the Far East or from the Pacific Rim or from the other side of the Pacific Rim, the kids are Americanized, you know, the high school students and maybe even a second generation. But the grandparents, you know, and in some cases, the parents are all from the old country, as we used to call Europe. So there's a big mix of them. You see the kids going to San Marino High School, for instance, or maybe even San Gabriel Mission or some of the area high schools are, you know, pretty much Americanized. They're born and raised and have obviously youthful American interests. But the parents and everybody else are still speak with an accent, still speak the language from the country of origination and kind of dig things the way they dig things. So I'm there at the Hilton and lots of cigarette smoking, man. Lot of cigarette smoking, which is fine with Lauren because she still smokes. I don't. They have a smoking lounge downstairs, but they did have a kind of a, you know, smoking area better than just, you know, a couple of chairs and an ashtray. And it's like, just stick those people over there. They had a snack shop, but kind of weird shit, like, not weird shit, but a weird, like, no Diet Coke. All just Cokes, all kinds of sugary drinks and shit. No, I drink Diet Coke because I don't drink that fucking sugar, right? And you got Diet Coke? Huh? Do you have Diet Coke? Diet Coke? No. You know, like I just asked the weirdest fucking question on earth. See what else? What other things can I criticize? No, I'm just kidding. It was actually a really nice hotel. I really liked it a lot. And because here's why we were down at that hotel. Cat friendly. That's right. We had to find a pet friendly hotel. And that might be something for Bobby Dooley. Mr. Whiskers. And Mr. Whiskers just had that thyroid treatment. And so Bobby let it shit, it's radioactive. Anyway, what we were looking for, because I knew I was going to be down there overnight for this function, and Lauren says, you know, we got to find a pet-friendly hotel. So we looked, and we found the San Gabriel Hilton, and they are pet-friendly, meaning you can bring your dog, you can bring your cat. They don't have, you know, kennels and all kinds of playrooms for pets. Basically, what they're saying is, sure, yeah, okay, bring your fucking dog or your cat. Boom. It's up to you to keep control of the animal. It's up to you to make sure that there's no shit in our hallways and stuff like that. So we did have our cat. And maybe it was only just a cat-friendly hotel, I'm not sure, but we did have Poncho with us. And why? The reason why we had to take Poncho is because he gets 2 insulin shots a day, 1 in the morning, 1 at night. And so there's no way we can travel overnight anywhere without Poncho coming with us. You may say, well, why don't you hire some service? I don't know, you know, maybe in the future. I'm not comfortable with somebody coming in here and that I never met. And whoever the fuck they think they are, and maybe they say they know how to do shit, and maybe they don't, you know. Giving him basically what is a injection of insulin, that means everything. It means his life, you know. He could very, very much be a sick animal if he does not get these shots. So, and literally a sick animal, a sick cat. Okay. Anyway, so that's why we had to do that. And it was great. When I say great, you know, we brought everything with us, brought the cat dishes, all that shit. Poncho's a pretty cool cat. He's a person cat. He's a people cat. He doesn't like being around other cats. He likes people. He's hanging out where the people are, and he will look up at you, and his head will go back and forth. People converse. It's pretty weird, I'm telling you. And he'll kind of look you up and down and, you know, have a searching look in his eye like, are we really going to do that, you know? And I took him home with me because Lauren is off seeing her friend Joey, who's back in town from Minnesota. And Minnesota is a long, long way away. So I got to turn this shit off of my TV before I throw my fucking guts up. I can't. Looking at this politics is just fucking making me sick. Let's see. Hold on for just a second. Where's the sports on this bitch? Give me a ball game or some shit. God damn it. I should not have anything on this TV except fucking here. Here's Sports Mix. Show what I'm looking at. Go down here to Sports Mix. Okay. Now, I know that I'm going to be too late for any of the Major League Baseball action going on around town. Let's see what's up. There's a soccer game. There's a football game. What is this? World Cup qualifying. Well, now, ain't that something? This is Raiders. Who is this? Raiders Chargers? Yeah. College football playoff, top 25. Spartan race. Conversation with the president, sports. Inside college football. I could give a fuck. I think I'll do World Cup qualifying because that's the kind of asshole I am. Very disloyal. Un-American motherfucker. What the hell is this? Is this Armenia and Poland? I'm taking a wild guess. World Cup qualifying. All right. Whenever you're ready. All right. Go to this channel here. Come on, motherfucker. Come on. God. Major League Baseball preview. American League postseason, channel 247. So the Red Sox are out, and that's what... A lot of people were talking about last night, even though we're in California, and Dodgers lost again. I think the Dodgers are down 2-1, so everybody's pissed off about that. And then the other thing a lot of people were pissed off about here on the West Coast was, at least my group of friends, Boston being out of it, because there's a lot of sentiment. You know, a lot of people from New England here, and would you like to delete this recording? Yes. What the fuck? What recording is that, man? What recording did I just make, bitch? Get out of here. NFL replay. I guess that's that Charger game I was looking at. Whenever you... So I'm watching this. You know, soccer's easy on the eyes. It doesn't take too much concentration early on. Here's Major League Baseball. What's this going to be about? Hey, man. Major League fucking baseball is what I just... This thing is fucked up. This thing is super fucked. Major League Baseball tonight. Clayton Kershaw. What the fuck is this? Am I going to look at another goddamn... This is Dodger Stadium. Oh, yeah. Nationals. I'm old enough to remember the old Washington Senators. And it wasn't the original old Washington Senators. The original old Washington Senators, I'm not old enough to remember. They ended their run in 1959, I think. And they went to Minnesota, became the Twins. Then an expansion team came along called the Washington Senators. Two expansion teams in 61, I think. It was the Angels and the Washington Senators. The new Washington Senators. And that Washington Senator team, I remember. I remember the Angels playing them. The Angels sucked all through the 60s and the Senators blew ape. And eventually, nobody could stand the Senators anymore. I think the Senators played at a place called Griffith Stadium in Washington, if I'm not mistaken. Named for the original owner. Calvin Griffith was now in Minnesota with the Twins, but I don't know, maybe. Anyway, that Senator team sucked dick, and so did the Angels. And by 1970, that senator team had split, and or 69, and moved to Texas to become the Texas Rangers, which is where they stay today. In 69, there was a huge expansion in baseball. Four expansion teams entered baseball: the Padres and the Expos, the Royals, and the Seattle Pilots. The Seattle Pilots lasted one season and moved to Milwaukee and became the Brewers. The Montreal Expos are now the Washington Nationals. They hung in Montreal for, 30-some years. At the end of the day, it just wasn't going to happen. And I don't know what happened in Montreal, and I don't give a shit. I mean, it probably was unjust, or maybe it was just. I don't know if the fans even gave a fuck, you know. But Washington probably deserved a baseball team. Probably, yeah, it's one of the largest cities in America. I don't know why they didn't have one. Probably the Orioles, you know, were good enough for a while, but... So there you had it. And the Padres and, what did I say? Yeah, the Expos. And the Expos, had their run in the 80s. Padres had their run in the 80s. Royals turned out to be one of baseball's really great teams. You know, they were in it, had great Hall of Famers playing for Kansas City. And the Pilots, Jim Boughton wrote a book. I don't know if you know who Jim Boughton was. He was a major league pitcher. Pitched for the New York Yankees, pitched in the World Series, I think 64. He was also a little bit of a character, and he wrote a book called Ball 4. It was the first sports book that was something more than just a lot of, well, let me tell you what, boys and girls, it sure is great. I eat my Wheaties. And another thing, I like to hit with a right-handed bat. You know, it was an expose. It was, graphic in some ways. It was behind the scenes. It was all kinds of shit. Ball 4. And I read it. It's a great book. It's very informative, and he tells the story, basically, it's the story of his year with the Seattle Pilots. But as he goes through this season, he remembers his days with the Yankees. He remembers coming up Bob Watson was his catcher, and Jim Boughton decided at some point in his career he was going to throw a knuckleball. And Bob Watson, who went on to catch for the Houston Astros, was breaking in as a catcher. So Watson said, I'll catch it. Nobody wanted to catch the knuckleball because knuckleballs go everywhere. No catcher wants to fucking deal with a goddamn knuckleball, but they have to. And so they catch it badly. Most of the time you're trapping a knuckleball. You're not catching the motherfucker. You're just throwing a net over it. There was excuse me. There was Bob Watson saying, lay that knuckleball on me. I'll catch that goddamn knuckleball. Yeah, put it on me, man. So he was grateful because he could never find a catcher for the knuckleball. Anyway, that's beside the point. His year with the Pilots. And the Pilots had coaches like Sal Magley. And had a bunch of old-timers, old New York Yankee players that were now coaching. And cats that he really respected, or at least he thought, as players. And now as coaches, they were just doddering old men. And it was a pain in the ass to be around them. And he makes a few stories about these guys. The other thing I remember about this was he said one thing that was very, very true, and anybody who knows anything knows this is true. He said, if I took all the advice I ever got from every pitching coach I ever have or ever have had, I would never have pitched in a World Series. I would never have pitched in a World Series had I taken all the advice that I got from all the pitching coaches, because sooner or later you have to be yourself. Right. You know, you got to, that's the best thing to be. However is comfortable for you, do it. That's why Arnie had that weird fucking swing, that golf swing of his. Hey, you know, this is why I swing the golf club. Well, it looks weird. Tough shit. You know, it's winning me money. So whenever you're ready to get it together, baby. All right. I think we're good.
And this is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Yes.
Now I know this is the week of 10-10. Yeah. This is the week of 10-10. News Talk 10-10. Just just GOP on the precipice. The GOP may be on the fucking precipice, man. The goddamn country's on the fucking precipice. I mean, this GOP. I don't give a fuck about the GO fucking P. I care about the country. Okay? GOP on the precipice. Getting human to Mars will require NASA and private companies to team up, Obama says. Well, no shit. Small plane crashes downtown. I agree with Trump on this. He says he's better off without Paul Ryan and John McCain. He is. He absolutely is. Paul Ryan and John McCain, no fucking balls. There's no balls there. God knows I admire and appreciate what John McCain's done for our country, but he is, there's no fucking guts there. And the other guy that's the most gutless motherfucker, where does this guy get off thinking that he ever thought he was going to be a president? Marco Rubio. Where'd he ever get the idea he'd make a president? The most gutless motherfucker I've ever seen in my life. Just goes along to get along. Just a good little Republican Party lackey, ass-licking motherfucker. That's Marco Rubio. Where was this, man? Surfer paddles to shore, showed people how to tie a tourniquet. 29-year-old Portland man, bitten by a shark off the Oregon coast Monday, was able to paddle back toward land after the attack, a fellow surfer said. Joseph Tanner was paddling about 30 to 40 yards from Indian Beach at Ecola State Park, where he was attacked. God, the fucking shark attack, man. It's not that they're going to eat you. That's not the problem. The problem is, if they nail you in the right spot, they hit a goddamn artery, you're one dead motherfucker unless you can get that thing tied off fast. That poor kid that got hit out here near Lompoc, right out there near Point Conception, it's well surfed. There's lots of surfers that go down there. It's not a very populated area. It is a fairly, very, very Spartan and very wild and natural place, you know. And it seems like a really forbidding place to go surfing. I don't know why. I've been to Point Conception millions of times, and I absolutely love it. It's the most beautiful spot. One of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in my life. Just cliffs and ocean for miles in either direction. No fucking civilization at all. It looks almost prehistoric. And at night, the most incredible sky that I've ever seen in my life, a nighttime sky, was at Point Conception my senior year in high school, like 1970. Went up there, and maybe it was because we took a hit of mescaline, but I don't think so. I really don't. I'm kidding. No, we did not. No, we did not. I was stone cold sober, laying on my back on the sand, looking up and looking at the unfucking real sky, man. Just so beautiful and so full of stars that you almost could make out depth between them. You know, when's the last time you look at a sky, you see the flat sky of stars, but have you ever thought of it three-dimensionally looking at it? And that's what it almost looked like. I'd never seen a night sky like that ever. And growing up in a city where there are lots of lights, you don't see shit, man. Even where we live now, where it's a smaller town, and you think we'd get a really good night sky here at the beach, it's okay. It ain't the fucking best thing in the world. But anyway, not making a big thing out of this. It's really beautiful. And that's where this kid got bit. One bite through the thigh, hit the femoral artery, and he pretty much was dead within a few seconds. I mean, his blood pressure just went. It just went, and he was flat over on the board. And his friend was out there. Thank God he had somebody with him, and they paddled him back in, but he was gone, man. And that's the danger of a shark attack, you know. Now, I know we've heard stories of arms getting bit off, you know. I mean, if a shark's fucking hungry, it's gonna, and thinks that you're a seal or a walrus, it's gonna. But it's not really gonna eat you. It's gonna badly, badly wound you. All right, man, I'm ready. I'll be around.
I'll be around whenever you're ready to get it together, baby.
All right, here we go. Test 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Let's see what we can do here.